Happy Easter. Happy May crowning. Happy 235th birthday of St. John Vianney. It's a big deal. Happy Mother's Day. Stop. So as you know, I try to spend a lot of time in prayer. Like, I think that as a priest, it's like what we're supposed to be doing besides serving is praying for our people. And I was praying during my holy hours this past week, and just want to share some fruit from that prayer and something I'd never really caught on to before. The opening line of our gospel passage today, I want to encourage you to take to your holy hours, take to perpetual adoration this upcoming week. But Jesus says this, as the Father loves me, as the Father loves me, so I love you. So why don't you just spend some time pondering, like, how did the Father love the Son? Because, like, what we're going to find is, like, the crux is all right in that. Like this is like a huge pivot point, a pinpoint. As the Father loves me, so I love you. Then he says, remain in my love. And then he ultimately says that this is my new commandment. Love one another as I loved you. So it's all, we have to go back and understand, like, so how did the Father love the Son? Because if we don't understand that, then we won't understand how Jesus wants to love us, and we won't understand how Jesus is going to command us to love as he loved us. It all comes back to the fact of, like, how did the Father love the Son? So then I was just like, whoa, I never thought about it. Like, go back to, like, as the Father loves me. So how did the Father love the Son? And so then I just started, like, thinking in my mind, like, well, what did the Father say to the Son? So we go open up our Bibles, and what in Scripture do we have the Father, God the Father? Of course, we're Christians. So what God do we worship? We worship the Trinity, the Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. What does the Father say to the Son? Two instances. And he says actually the exact same thing. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. At the baptism, for those of you who pray the daily rosary, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. How does the Father love the Son? This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. So what does the Father do? How does the Father love the Son? He claims his Son. This is my beloved Son. He affirms his Son, with whom I am well pleased. And he declares his Son's purpose to be listened to. He claims his Son. He affirms his Son. And he makes known his Son's purpose. This is how the Father loves the Son. As the Father loves me, so I love you. This is my new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. What's the second time that we have God the Father speaking directly to the Son? Mark chapter 9, verse 6. It's not just in Mark chapter 9, verse 6, but it's the story of the Transfiguration. So just as the baptism is in the Gospels, not just one, but in all of them, now we have the Transfiguration, and what do we have? What does God the Father say? Jesus becomes, his clothes become dazzling white, his face starts shining, Moses and Elijah appear, and what is God, the Holy Spirit descends, Holy Spirit's right there, the Holy Spirit descends, the clouds part, and what do we hear? This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Claim, affirm, purpose. Is that how we love one another? Is that our experience of our spouse, our parents, Our siblings. Is that how we love the poor? Is that how you love your next door neighbor? Do we tell people who they truly are as sons and daughters of God? Do we affirm their innate goodness? Because you want to know what God the Father says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31? God looked at all that he made and found it to be very good. It convicted me to like really ask myself the question of like, wow, do I do enough in telling people who they truly are as sons and daughters of God? Do I do enough in affirming their innate goodness as sons and daughters of God? And do I remind them constantly of their purpose? So it just so happened this past week I was reading this study by two sociologists, John and Julie Gottman. Some of you may have heard of this study. It's actually a really famous study. These are two sociologists that study particularly marriage and relationships. They take married couples, particularly young married couples, and they have actually like a lab, which is an apartment, and for 24 hours, a married couple will make the choice to go and live in this lab. And John and Julie, with 94% accuracy, can tell within 15 minutes if the couple's marriage will continue or they'll end in divorce. All it takes is 15 minutes. 94% accuracy, and all they have to do is observe them for 15 minutes. The 24 hours is actually just kind of like, just to make the couple feel like it's worth their time. What have John and Julie studied? What they now refer to as the PNR, the positive-negative ratio. Positive-negative ratio. This is what they found. That one negative action or interaction or word takes five positive actions, interactions, or words just to break even. Which means you would actually need six positive actions, words, or interactions to actually end up positive if you do something, say something, or make a negative look at someone else. 94% accuracy on determining a relationship's future. So then that had me like beginning to like ponder. What does it mean that God the Father looks at the Son and says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased"? What does it mean in Genesis chapter 1 that God looks at all he creates and actually names it and calls it good? And yet how much of our life is full of negativity? Now what's interesting is this. Like, we can actually look at this, the PNR, the positive-negative ratio, and actually see that it's actually true. So let's just imagine right now you go to a restaurant for dinner tonight. And let's just say that it's a horrible experience. So clearly, it's not the Tavern. It's not Skyline. It's not Clumps. I mean, clearly. But let's just say that you go to a restaurant tonight somewhere else. The service is bad. Your food is horrible. They don't refill your drinks. So you call over the manager and say, "Hey, this has been horrible." And the manager says, "Really, really sorry. We got, you know, new cook staff back there, and the waitress was new this time, and really apologize. We'll give you free desserts. How's that sound? Will you go back to that restaurant?" The answer is no. Let's say you go on a first date. Let's say the first date is a bomb. Do you go on a second? Absolutely not. In fact, like, the data would show that that individual that you went on that date with would have to somehow do six really amazing and positive, stupendous things. And that's just to like get back to neutral. Negative experiences, negative interactions have more weight than we could ever imagine. So let's apply this to the church. What happens when someone who is unchurched or been away from the church comes back to Mass or comes to Mass for the first time and they get a dirty look? Or someone doesn't move over in the pew? Or people don't say hello to them in the parking lot? Or the priest gives a horrible sermon? One of the biggest reasons why people leave the Catholic Church is because of priests that are jerks. I'm one of them. All it takes is one bad interaction with a priest, and people will write the whole thing off, and you need six positive interactions just to get to neutral or reconsideration. How are we at, like, trying to create positive interactions for people to negate the negative ones which we know are already there? How does God the Father love the Son? This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. What do we celebrate today? We're celebrating May crowning, which is awesome. By the way, I'm totally, like, and this is nothing against the four other May crownings that I'm doing. Like, just saying that just makes me so happy. Like, I love it. Like, I love Our Lady of Fatima. Like, that's why we opened the shrine in 2017. And, like, I love Our Lady of Fatima. And the fact that we get to, like, crown Our Lady of Fatima, I'm just, like, super excited about that. But anyways, side note back. We also celebrate this weekend Mother's Day. That's why we always do May crowning on Mother's Day. I mean, why is it that there is something unbelievably powerful about Mother's Day that I think all of us can admit that's not the same as Father's Day? I mean, I'm a father. But why is that? Because what do women do more than men? They affirm. They encourage. They tell their children their purpose. And the reality is that we as children, we remember that. We know it. And it means something. The problem is that it's not just for mothers. And it's not just for relationships between women and their children. It's for all of us. It's for the entire church. Because Jesus says, "This is my commandment. Love one another as I have loved you." And how does Jesus love us? As the Father loves him. But how much of our world is caught and trapped in negative talk, in critical talk, in gossip? How much of our time is spent in the negative when Christ is inviting us, I truly do believe, to bless and affirm and call forth in ways that maybe we've never imagined? So I invite you this weekend to spend your own time meditating upon those words of our Lord. As the Father loved me, so I love you. What is the Father's love for the Son? And how are we called to put it into action? How are we called to put it into word? How are we called to live it in our marriages? How are we called to live it in relation with our children? How are we called to live it in our places of work? How are we called to live it in our church? How are we called to live it as the new commandment? To love one another as I love you. May Mary, our Queen, may Mary, our Mother, pray for us and lead us in loving her Son and loving each other as the Father does.